it's a great teaching that Jesus gives. And what he's saying is, in Matthew's gospel to us today, none of those who cry out, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only the one who does the will of the Father in heaven. Anyone who hears the word and puts them into practice is like the wise man who builds his house on rock. When the rainy season sets in and the torrents come and the winds blow and buffets his house, it did not collapse. It was built solidly on the rock. Anyone who hears my words but does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rains fell, the torrents came, the wind blew and lashed against the house. It collapsed under all its force and was completely ruined. What is the rock that we set our spiritual lives on? Let's go back again. How simple this is. It's Jesus. There is only one person, only one, who did the will of the Father, and that's Jesus. My brothers and sisters, no matter who you are, if you're the Pope listening, if you're a bishop listening, if you're a priest, no matter who you are, and that includes all of us, we all fail. There's not one of us who doesn't sin in one way or another. There is within each one of us, under the force of temptation and struggle and difficulty and satanic attack, all of us collapse. Not one. You are a liar if you think you can build up your disciplined life so that you are able to sustain the pressure that Jesus is talking about. What is the rock that we build our spiritual lives on? It's Jesus. When you were baptized, when you were confirmed, when you were ordained, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you were given salvation and redemption in, through, and with Jesus Christ. He's the only superstar, Jesus Christ, and he wants to come into each of our hearts. And during this Advent season, how do we get to see those areas that are most critical in our lives where we basically fall away? And so it's a magnificent time when that a woman was asking me, how do we build up our spiritual lives with regard? Of course, what today's talk, I think, mainly would lead us through some kind of revelation of the Holy Spirit, those areas where I am separated from the rock, those areas where I do what I want to do rather than what God wants me to do. When I'm tempted. Now, yesterday we had an area of fasting and asking God to help us with this temptation of eating. Supposing you're a person who indulges in, supposing gluttony is your weakness. Now, if you're struggling with that, that can be a tremendous struggle. So many Americans and other people throughout the world who have a difficulty maybe with alcohol are struggling with eating or drinking, and gluttons and drunkards. How do I deal with this difficulty? If I look at my life, what separates me from God in my life, in my house, in order to keep order that God is talking about, how do I build my life on solid rock here, that is on Jesus? I'm going to be giving a retreat at the end of this week to recovering alcoholics. How often they person who is struggling with this difficulty has to come the very first step that every alcoholic makes in order to achieve sobriety is, I can't do it. I am bankrupt. The first step towards sobriety is that within myself, I am powerless over this disease of alcoholism. I cannot do it. Over and over again, in my willpower, I have failed. Second step is I have come to believe and to be aware of a power higher than myself, and that power for us is Jesus. Jesus is the rock on whom I will stand. Jesus is the power that when these temptations come along, and now the third step, it is to him I turn over my will, and I turn it over to him who is within me, who wants to sustain me, who is so anxious to help me. What a magnificent thing it is when I meet these people, men and women, who say, I'm an alcoholic and I'm in recovery for 17 years. That means that for 17 one day at a time days, Joe or Linda or Leslie or Andy has said, I'm an alcoholic and I have turned it over to God, who is my rock and my salvation. What a magnificent group of people that is. And so there's a movie that demonstrates something so powerful. It's called The Flight. Denzel, did you hear about this? It was called the movie was called The Flight.
Yes.
And this actor was an alcoholic. And the whole movie was set up in such a way that he had done a magnificent thing in landing the plane, but six people died. And he was drunk when he was flying that plane. And they realized that if he admitted that, it was the fault of the plane, actually, that caused the immediate crash. And his skill... Eventually, he said there's no other pilot that could have landed that plane as successfully as he did. Anyway, he was under the pressure of the trial, and it was the biggest trial that he could ever face in his life. And he wanted to use every bit of power that he had, and it failed. You could tell he was a man who, if he decided he was going to do it, would do it, but he couldn't. He got drunk. He got drunk just before the trial. And he had to be pulled out of it. And under the questioning, and rather than continue the lies, he did a magnificent thing. He told the truth. I am an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. And these men who and women who will be with me this Saturday have come to realize that. What did they come to realize? Just what Jesus was saying. When the storm comes, when the temptations are there, when the buffets and the wind comes against me, now that's with alcohol, or that's with food, that you're going to be tempted. Is it sex? Is it lust that takes you from God? Is the enormity of your temptations that you would smash your house and destroy the tranquility of peace between you and your wife by an adulterous act? Jesus is the only one who can sustain you. How many people of so-called responsible homes and households, married men and women, are caving in and collapsing in our society underneath the pressure of lust? Or is your problem self-reliance? What I really believe more and more, I find people who come to me and they masturbate or they view pornography and they say, who's getting hurt if I do this? And you want to control that. And you think you can control that. But your self-reliance knows that you are not in possession of your household, of your own body, of your own mind, and your own thoughts. Your self-reliance is more the problem with what is going wrong and collapsing in your union with Jesus Christ. Not all those who cry, Lord, Lord, are going to enter the kingdom of God. It's those who do the will of my Father. And when Jesus taught us to pray, all of us are called to pray, and this is our major prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I want to do God's will today, and you want to do God's will today. Many of us are very advanced in the kingdom of God, and there's that particular characteristic that I have that destroys my unity with Jesus. And Jesus is warning us, not all those who say, Lord, Lord. So, if you are a person who's full of envy and jealousy, and that is your brokenness, some of us have a terrible time with seeing others advance and get honors and receive rewards, and we get torn apart inside when someone that we are jealous of and envious of receives recognition and honor and praise. Our society is so torn apart by competition and comparison. I keep comparing myself to others, what they have and what I have, and I'm better than them or I'm worse than them. I'm poorer than them or I'm richer than them. Each of us has a specificity in God's call. You are called. Do you know when God is looking at you this Advent, he doesn't see me at 84 and you at 57 or 38 or 8. That isn't how God sees you. God, in his love for you, do you know how God sees you now, if you're listening? He sees you in your mother's womb. He knows all about you. He was the one who knit you in your mother's womb. He is the one who wants to bring. He made you. He designed you. He has a plan for you. God isn't calling millions and millions today to salvation and to eternal life. He's calling you specifically. That's how much you mean to God. And during this Advent, you mean so much to him that he sent his only begotten Son to take on human flesh. When you celebrate Christmas and Christmas comes, are you ready to see that the infant Christ was sent into the world for your salvation? And are you ready that this same Lord who suffered and died and rose is in you and wants to remain with you and wants to be in you so that you have that opening to eternal life? Now the rains are going to come, and they're happening today. All of us undergo temptation and trial and struggle. And every one of us, every single person today is going to be rocked. against that house of ours, there'll come a storm. There's not all of us who have the same tendency, the same weakness, the same collapsibility under the storm. Maybe you're envious. Maybe you're lustful. Maybe you're gluttonous. Maybe you're judgmental. Whatever that weakness may be, you, everyone, and I have a brokenness. There is only one who is rock foundation, Jesus Christ. Our union with him today in prayer. Cry out to him, call to him, my Lord and my God, save me. Save me, Lord. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy might throughout the universe displays. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. He is our rock and our salvation, Jesus Christ. Today, as every day during this Advent season, the storm is coming. And all of us should ask the Lord today, as we continue in our Advent journey through prayer, through fasting, Lord, where is that weakness in me that separates me from my rock? Where am I not really founding my life on Jesus Christ, the rock? Reveal to me where I get separated from him and therefore am building my house on sand. I believe that there's only, you know, if you are trying to find out what that is that separates you from God simply by introspection. You know, we used to be thinking, how do I examine my conscience? That's a very important question on a teaching like this. You really aren't able to see yourself with your own eyes. You know, has your wife told you about a flaw you have that you don't see in yourself? I had a couple that were here, and very beautiful. And I could see that the wife could see her husband and what he was, his brokenness. And I could see that he could see the brokenness in his wife. But neither of them could see what was broken in each other, in themselves. The only one that can reveal to me my brokenness is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who probes the heart like a physician with the light, who goes into those dark areas of my wall-less heart and probes the wound so as to reveal the wound to me, so that I can begin to see under the scope of the Holy Spirit the wound that has been bleeding for so long. Maybe what really is my fundamental wound is not anger, but an unforgiveness of my mother who hurt me, or an unforgiveness of my father, way down deep, that has set me on a journey away from God, unforgiveness of someone who hurt me, or a former spouse who betrayed me, and I never forgave them. That wound can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And so, on a day like today, my final thought would be, call upon the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit, reveal to me where my house is not built on rock, on the rock of Jesus, on the rock of ages, so that when the Lord comes at the time that he's going to call me from this life, I will be united with him and through him and in him to you, God my Father. God bless.